fasten your seatbelts and prepare yourselves for the flight of a lifetime. This week, we're going to be making history.
Ready? Are you sure this is going to work?
Absolutely.
Welcome to the most incredible aerial extravaganza ever. And it's all up in the air. It's 100 years since the Wright brothers' first flight, and we thought we'd do something even more daring.
The challenge is to build an antique aircraft, which they must launch and fly here in the Mojave Desert in California. And as if that's not tricky enough, the teams can only use period junk and must wield the tools of the time. That time was 100 years ago. In November 1903, at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, two brothers, Orville and Wilbur Wright, managed to get in the air for 12 seconds. That 12 seconds changed the world. This was the culmination of a concentrated international effort to be first in the skies. Across the world, madcap inventors had come up with all sorts of weird and wonderful contraptions. The British and the French were among the front runners, but it was the Americans who were first over the finish line. We've decided to rerun that race for flight and have gathered three international teams of extraordinary aircraft experts.
First up, representing their queen and country, are the brave British Buzzards, four flight fanatics from Marlborough, England.
My name's Bill Brooks. I'm captain of the British team.
He's got all the brilliant ideas.
What can you say about Bill, the mad scientist?
Darren's a very accomplished hang glider pilot.
I fly, and I don't quite know why I do it. I think it's genetically pre-programmed. Wendy always rises to any challenge.
And I'm going to be the bossy one, because men being men, they tend to faff.
My name's Ian Evans.
I've had a love of flying since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
I think that he'll keep up a good sense of humour, even when things get difficult.
We're ready for anything!
Also from across the Atlantic, connoisseurs of junk, the French Falcons.
Je m'appelle Gérald Lafage et je suis le capitaine de l'équipe française.
Gérald has built many flying machines
and he flies them every day. Eric is a great pilot. He likes to be in control.
I'm really excited about flying this plane and a little bit tense too.
Gérald is a real good engineer. He knows exactly what he wants and exactly where to go to get it.
Dimitri is really good with metal and wood. He's really hard working and is going to do a very fine job.
It will be a piece of cake.
Something!
And finally, defending our own nation are the American Eagles. They're seasoned veterans of all things vintage.
I'm Ken Kellett. I'm the captain.
Ken is one of the world's experts on Pioneer airplanes.
Andrew built a number of airplanes.
I'm the pilot of the flying machine. I'm looking forward to a lot of fun, a little bit of adventure.
Paul, he's going to be right in there helping fabricate this thing.
My name's Norman Kellett. I'm a firefighter with the city of Westminster, Colorado.
Really, we're hoping everybody flies, but we intend to win.
We're going to beat both the British and the French.
We're the American Eagles.
Which team will be the first to get off the ground? Find out after.
Welcome back to the first afternoon of our pilot project. Our teams are flying by the seat of their pants.
Come on, Tyler, let's go.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
Come on, chaps.
Huddle up, teams. As you may recall, it's been 100 years since Wilbur and Orville Wright made their first epic flight at Kitty Hawk. Well, today we're turning back the clock to the 1900s. Your challenge is to build and fly an aircraft from that time, but only using period junk.
No. Wow.
Now, on this special occasion, we are going to be generous and give you 20 hours to build your flying machines.
20 heures!
Yeah, we're going to need
it. But the downside is you can only use turn-of-the-century tools. No noisy drilling or grinding. Yeah.
Okay. American Eagles, are you ready?
Yeah, ready.
British Buzzards, are you ready?
You certainly are.
French Falcons, êtes-vous prêts?
On est prêts.
Go!
Hey. Yeah, here we are.
An aeroplane in 20 hours?
Joking, man.
All right, come on, come on.
Whew.
All right, Ken, what's the plan?
We're going to do a monoplane. We're going to do the Walden airplane. It's a lot of triangles. It's a lot of geometry, a lot of tubing. It's got a wooden keel that comes down here, three wheels.
The legendary 1909 Walden 9 made history as the first American monoplane to get off the ground. The fuselage is made from metal tubing and supports a large wooden wing and a box-shaped tail section. The pilot sits at the front and the engine is behind with a propeller pushing the plane forward. Captain Ken hopes that this one large wing will get them soaring high in the skies. But all that heavy metal could bring them down to Earth with a bump.
Wood for the wings, wood for the keel, everything else is tubing. Try to get three wheels, at least two that match, cable. We're going to need a lot of cable for this airplane.
We have only 20 hours, so I think we have to turn to a monoplane, quite a conventional design. Should we go for a Blériot? Looks like a very simple fuselage.
Just plywood there.
Maybe I got an idea for the landing gear. A bike frame can be a good idea.
The 1909 French Blériot Type 11 was one of the most successful early aircraft. The fuselage is a wooden box-like structure which supports a curved wing and tail. The French Falcons will mount their engine at the front with a propeller pulling the plane through the air. They hope to make their landing gear out of old bicycle parts. It's a light and dainty design, but will it be strong enough to withstand the bumpy takeoffs and landings?
We need, for the fuselage, four beams. We need also plywoods on the side, tubes.
Fixed-wing flying machine, 1900s. Wings.
Yeah, wings. Yeah,
wings. Yeah. We want a simple biplane, really. We'll add a few bits, and we'll have a really crazy-looking tail. 1909 sort of thing.
Unlike the other teams, Captain Bill has plundered from more than one design. The Buzzard's hybrid biplane is inspired by the Wright Flyer's double wings, the elegant tail from the 1909 French Antoinette, while the simple frame fuselage comes from deep inside Bill's head. Their construction is all wood, the wings and tail are covered in canvas, and the engine will be mounted at the front. It may look fantastic, but will this bird ever get off the ground?
So we got a large shopping list.
Yeah, we're going to need loads of stuff. Wood, cable, ply, wheel. Get going.
All right, guys, we're going to make history here. Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
Come on, Paul.
Now, we are gone.
And they're off, pedaling like crazy.
Yeah.
Up on your own.
Guys, do you think they'll be able to finish in 20 hours?
Don't ask me. My watch stopped 100 years ago.
The junkyard contains a mixture of the old and the new.
Tiens, Dimitri.
The teams will have to be judicious in their scavenge.
Because we can build...
Anything modern will be disallowed.
Ken, I found some smaller tubing here.
Oh, good. That'll work on the tail. Bring it in.
I found a lot of tubing, too.
Bring it in. Bring it in. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, blimey.
So, Paul, what are we looking for?
We're looking for mild steel tubing. A lot of people don't realize that, but there was still tubing back then. It's a strange-looking aircraft, that's for sure.
Is it going to fly?
Of course it's going to fly. It's an American design.
Hey, I think I found a wheel.
One wheel in the trunk.
Dimitri, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for some wheels for my undercarriage. I need two wheels, but very strong.
Have you found the wood you need?
Not exactly what we need, but we will have to adjust them.
Come in, Dad.
How's it going, Darren?
Oh, it's going great.
It's all wood, isn't it? It's all weird.
It's all wood. If it was aluminium, it'd be so much easier. Yeah.
Aluminum tubing didn't exist 100 years ago.
Looks like aluminum. I don't think aluminum's going to work. We're going to ditch that. Are you happy with that?
Well,
it's a bit knotty and bent.
Yeah.
Our teams can't be too careful. After all, the pilots' lives are at stake.
Okay, remember, all this hardware has got to fly.
No, I think it's too heavy, too big.
Dog's back leg. Rejected.
Faut trier, les gars. You will have to choose.
It's getting hot, man.
It is.
Running around like this, man.
Il est un peu tordu, il faut vérifier qu'on peut utiliser celui-là.
C'est quoi ça? Ça pourrait.
If they reject everything, there won't be any planes.
Bon, donc on le met de côté, il va pas.
Donc celui-là, il va pas.
Oh, fabric!
Fabric!
Andrew is the Eagle style guru.
White is so bland. I think I want fuchsia.
Fuchsia.
Fuchsia would be much
better.
I'll
look for fuchsia.
It's all about accessories, Paul.
Still haven't can't see a keel.
Okay, it needs to be
3x2 with no knots in it.
I think you're asking for something there.
You're telling me to get knotted?
Yeah.
The race is on to build period aircraft. The American Eagles are whistling up a Walden monoplane out of steel tubing.
The French Falcons are going for a classic wooden Beleriand, which they must keep super light, but they'll need metal tubing for a strong undercarriage. That's Dimitri's department.
Eric, j'ai trouvé deux cadres. Super, hein?
Hey, I think I found a keel.
The British Buzzards are busying themselves with a biplane. That means four wings, twice the amount of wood, and twice the amount of work.
Oh, now that does look nice. Now, Bill.
What?
What do you think?
Yeah, it looks great. Let's use it.
Up, up. You'd think big bits would be easy to find, wouldn't
you? On your bike.
C'est bon pour le moral d'avancer.
As the parts start materializing, our teams have to tackle turn-of-the-century tools.
Blimey. Amazing, that could make anything at all.
In the early 1900s, everything was handcrafted, and power tools were primitive. No portable electric drills or saws, and no staple guns. And electric welding hadn't been invented, so Eagle Andrew has to weld the old-fashioned way, using a hot gas flame.
Ken!
Hello?
How you doing?
We're doing good.
Tell me about your plane.
The airplane is called the Walden 9, first monoplane in America. It was designed by a dentist in New York.
Okay.
The guy lived until the
60s. I wouldn't have a lot of faith in that, to be honest with you.
He built a good one.
Dr. Henry Walden made history in December 1909 when he took to the air in this beautiful machine. Biplanes had been around since 1903, but this was the first American monoplane. Unfortunately, there are no detailed plans, so Captain Ken has only got these old photographs to go on.
You're going to see us making a lot of parts. Nothing's going to look like anything for a while, but then all of a sudden it's going to gel and start looking like
a... Because your pilot looks extremely happy here.
Oh, he's very happy.
God. So, a lot of nails.
Wow. But the original Blair plane would have been built like this with pins and glue and...
Yeah, sure.
Same system.
Yeah,
exactly
the same way.
I take it that this drawing up here is the plan of your airplane.
Yes, it should look like this.
Just one wing.
Yeah, it's a monoplane.
And, and it has some kind of wires that hold that in place, is that?
Oh, yes, yeah. No wire. No way.
The Beleriand 11 was Frenchman Louis Beleriand's hugely successful monoplane. On the 18th of January, 1909, he made the first flight across the English Channel. His success had future pilots putting in orders for a Beleriand 11 of their own. Overnight, he became the first large-scale airplane manufacturer. The plane was not only a commercial success, it also went on to win many competitions, including the Paris to Madrid air race. In 1912, air ace Adolphe Pégou became the first person to loop the loop. He was a national hero.
And so who's going to fly? Have you decided who will fly? You will be flying.
I'm the guy.
He's the pilot.
And are you okay? You're okay with this? Is it good?
Impeccable.
It's perfect.
Oh, good.
Up to now, it's perfect.
And 20 hours, 20 heures.
C'est court.
C'est dur, n'est-ce pas?
It will be very tight.
Yeah.
Il faut très dur.
Oui.
So, when was the last time you got to do any planing? Gosh, it's archaic.
Well, it is, but it's a beautifully efficient tool.
So the design, where does it come from? It
comes from all over the place, really. It's a biplane because that gives you a very strong and light structure.
Captain Bill has picked some of the strongest design features of the time. The wings are inspired by the Wright brothers' 1912 biplane, a direct descendant of the first Wright Flyer from 1903. The tail comes from the beautiful 1909 French Antoinette monoplane. Whether Bill will succeed in fusing the best of both worlds is still in doubt. After all, unlike the Antoinette, his design has yet to take to the skies.
Laying the parts out in three dimensions, I'm getting a little bit concerned about weight. Darren keeps telling me I'm building a bomber, you know, so...
Is it going to fly?
It's a heck of a lot of aeroplane to build in this time. I really don't think it's been done before.
Can you do it?
Well, it'll be something of a record if we do.
Look at a map. In case we get lost in the junkyard.
The American Eagles are going off course.
You can see the beautiful view in here.
Paul seems more interested in touchdown than takeoff.
Go along here with welding goggles.
No such frivolity for the French. They're focused on their fuselage.
On l'allonge par terre.
Paul.
What do you think? How are the teams doing? How are they feeling?
The British, very polite, you know. Oh, good show. Oh, nice job. Very well done.
Grand job.
Those French boys are lovely. Mm-hmm. They look so nice, don't they?
They look like the best.
They can carry a neckerchief and a shirt better than any other European.
No man can wear a neckerchief. What a French.
Yes.
Just go speak to the American team. Because they're like, well, we're going to win. Because we're the best and we're the smartest and no worries right now.
These things are guaranteed to give you a blood blister.
But the Eagles' confidence is vanishing fast. The old tools are testing their metal.
You better beat this over a rock. All right, get me a hammer. Give me that.
Tools are also driving young Dimitri around the bend.
J'en ai plié un de traviole, deux de traviole.
Gérard isn't impressed.
Attends, mais il y en a un, il y a 45 degrés d'écart.
Mais ouais, mais il a tourné.
Dimitri's twisted pipes are also trying his captain's patience.
Là, c'est le point où on n'a pas droit à l'erreur, donc...
It's back to the floor for the young gun.
Buzzard's captain Bill is the brains behind his team, but genius always comes at a price.
Wendy!
What?
I've started faffing.
No time for faffing.
Oh, sorry.
Inventors have the reputation of being eccentric, and our judge is no exception. He built his first glider while still at school, and from then on, it was downhill all the way. Among his many achievements is a patent for a revolutionary hang glider mechanism. And he was the first person to fly an ultralight across Lake Erie.
Boy, this is someplace, isn't it?
Chuck Slezarchik is a modern-day aviation pioneer.
So, Chuck, when did you first sort of really get involved in flying? And the whole, was it a childhood thing?
Oh, yes, yes. My father was a pilot,
right.
And so I started playing with airplanes when I was in diapers. And
this is a pretty tall order, though, asking these guys to build these in 20 hours.
Very tall, very tall order. This is almost an impossible task. It's like trying to build the Great Wall of China in 2 weeks.
Now, the American Eagles design is rather unusual.
They took a very obscure American design, which, quite frankly, I would have never done. The funny thing was, I knew the guy that designed it, Dr. Henry Walden. I had the opportunity to have a conversation with him on the phone. He sent me letters and photographs of his design, and that's when I first learned about the airplane.
Right.
And the American Eagles are to be handed a badge for courage,
right.
Because it's going to be a touchy airplane to fly.
And what about the French Falcons?
The Blériot is probably one of the most famous French designs out there. Frankly, I would have built that myself if I was on the French team.
And what about now the British Buzzards, the only team that are going for a biplane?
The British design is the only one that doesn't have a recognizable look about it. There's things that were taken a bit here and a bit there and put them together.
Botched together in a true British fashion.
Oh, yes. Well, this is what the show's about, isn't it? Yeah. Botching things together.
Yeah, who's your money on at the moment, then?
It's going to be a function of how fast they can get them built. My hope is that these magnificent men and their flying machines go uppity up up instead of down, down, down.
I'm on a cold streak here, man.
If they're going to go uppity up up, the American Eagles will need a propeller.
I'm finding squat.
Yes, I think we should...
Swap?
Swap.
Yeah.
What, you don't like it?
International trade negotiations are preoccupying the Europeans. The French may have something the British want.
Okay.
I think what we need is one that's bigger than me.
The heavier British biplane needs a longer propeller than the French Falcon's lighter monoplane.
We swap. Okay.
You take this one.
Do you need any cloth?
I know that.
Now that the British have got their prop, they can start spreading their wings. Wendy's cutting out wooden ribs. These will form a skeleton which they'll cover with fabric. And with four wings to make, there are going to be no spare ribs.
So how many of these have I got to make?
About 32.
You got to be kidding.
Hey, won't it look great? It's going to look absolutely wicked.
Will the buzzards, falcons, or eagles ever spread their wings? Stay with us and find out.
Welcome back to Junkyard Wars, where the only thing flying is time.
Get out of the way. The race is on to build period aircraft. The American Eagles are whistling up a Walden monoplane out of steel tubing.
The French Falcons are going for a classic wooden Beleriand, which they must keep super light, but they'll need metal tubing for a strong undercarriage. That's Dimitri's department.
Eric, j'ai trouvé deux cadres. Super, hein?
Hey, I think I found a keel.
The British Buzzards are busying themselves with a biplane. That means four wings, twice the amount of wood, and twice the amount of work.
Oh, now that does look nice.
Aircraft wings have a particular shape. When air flows over the wing, it breaks into two airstreams. The air moving over it moves faster than the air moving under it. The faster the air, the lower the pressure, so the air above has less pressure than the slower moving air below. That imbalance of pressure creates a lifting force on the wing that literally sucks the airplane off the ground. But the teams will be going nowhere without some sort of power source.
The Federal Aviation Authority have strict rules about what is allowed to fly. Normal junkyard engines just wouldn't pass the test, so they all get identical new ones.
British Buzzards, we've got a little gift for you.
Oh, wow. I think we could cross the channel with that.
Gentlemen, I have a rather splendid new engine for you. Look at that.
Wow.
I come bearing gifts.
Bonjour.
Are you sure it's going to fly?
Yeah. I'm quite sure it will fly. The only major concern is that I have to make kiss landings just to make sure that the undercarriage will last.
A kiss landing, what is that?
Just, you know, kissing the ground, but not too hard.
Just a light little...
Yeah, that's it.
Very French. It's very French. What do you think is the biggest challenge so far?
C'est vraiment de faire 120 heures. Généralement, une construction comme ça, ça prend... 6 mois. Donc le challenge, c'est de savoir exactement, d'avoir dans notre tête bien le schéma de ce que l'on veut faire et ne pas perdre de temps.
You've had experience of building unusual airplanes before that actually fly.
Yeah, the Wright Brothers airplane.
All right.
I built and flew the 19-3.
What was it like to fly?
Awful.
Was it?
Captain Ken's claim to fame is that he's the only person in modern times to have flown a true 1903 Wright Flyer. Not only that, he actually built the replica himself. As his first attempt in the 1970s demonstrates, it's not the easiest plane to get off the ground.
How long did it actually take you to build the Wright Flyer? Do you know how many hours you spent doing it?
All I have is like a good guess. I think we spent around 3,500 hours
right
building the airplane. I mean, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the dynamic is working out well and you guys are getting on? I hear Wendy, you might be a little bossy. Is that true?
It's just that they tend to faff a great deal, yeah. You know. Men and men, aren't they?
Of course.
They, you
know? They don't know how to multitask either. I'm sure you're doing five things.
Yeah, they don't do, They can't do two things.
Yeah, chastising
at the same time.
Us, bossing us, and sawing wood at the same time. That's at least three.
I know a couple of you guys were on the show before, right? But as competitors?
That was Darren and I. We competed in the first Scrap Heap Challenge program to build a glider.
Darren's hang glider was terrifying to fly, but at least it was a tried and tested design.
Take up slack!
Wacky Captain Bill, on the other hand, came up with one of the most ludicrous flying machines ever seen, and he certainly came down with a bump.
It's easy to get complacent. You turn out big bits of structure like this, and you think you've done it, but the devil is in the detail with these.
Roll up, 16 hours remaining, merci, 16 hours.
Holy cow.
The eagle's nest is looking frighteningly empty.
Well, I wanted to drill these first and then stick this in here and then drill this one so it all lines up.
But at last, they've commenced their assembly. Amazingly, this bit of scaffolding will be the rudder for the tail of their plane.
Sweet,
look at that.
All right, okay, you guys passed the test. All right.
They've got another 149 components to go, but Captain Ken's still a stickler for accuracy.
And you need to rotate that around so it faces this way.
The French Falcons are also focusing on their tail. It's a precision operation. But Dimitri's using brute force to battle with the undercarriage.
Eh, hey, Eric, t'avais raison.
Quoi?
Celui-là, on ne t'a pas, il a pété.
Tu démontes, tu remets un patch ici, et le même là, et tu contreperces.
Ah, the hot-headedness of youth.
Put on the circular saw.
Yeah, I'm gonna...
The British are also getting carried away. Captain Bill is marking up the wooden beams for their wings, and Ian's in charge of cutting them.
They're different lengths.
Can't be.
I think you cut at the hole position.
What?
Bodger Bill's inspired.
Don't worry, lad. I feel a shortening of the span coming on.
You know what would be neat? Is that the spirits of Orville and Wilbur Wright were here, watching over us.
Yeah.
I wonder what they would say, you know?
They'd be fascinated, wouldn't they? Or they might think we're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to build an airplane in 2 days, you know?
The only thing crazier is the spirits of Orville and Wilbur Wright.
No, I mean, it's a ridiculous idea. Woo! Here comes Orville and Wilbur. No.
Do you know what I think, Orville?
What's that, Wilbur?
These young fellas in there, they're plum cooking. Oh,
what are they trying to do?
Build the airplane in 2 days and it's going to fly.
That can't be done.
No. No way. It took us.
How long did it take us to do it?
It took us years.
Things are going to start hopping. Okay, we've got
Eagle's Captain Ken isn't impressed with his team's progress.
What we're going to do is we're going to put together the center section. Andrew and I are going to focus on the pilot's position.
His team are still confused about what they're supposed to be doing.
See, it's going to go together real quick, so don't anybody sweat it. We're ahead of the game, I think, on this thing.
And what game is that, Ken?
Ça me plaît pas beaucoup, tout ça.
The Falcons are not impressed with Dimitri's undercarriage. He's certainly no lightweight. Taskmaster Girard shows him how it's done.
On met l'autre en haut, ce que tu avais fait tout à l'heure.
I got a problem here, but the ribs don't fit.
Buzzard Ian isn't the only one making mistakes. It's now Captain Bill's turn. Their wings are already shorter than they wanted, and now they've just become wider.
I've goofed up.
Can we just saw a bit off?
It's all right, I think.
Oh.
So what we're going to do, we're going to increase the size of the wing.
All right.
We must think three times and cut once, or we'll be making scrap.
Our international aviators are battling to build antique aircraft in 2 days, and we're already halfway through day one.
You want me to stick this on?
Yeah, that'll do.
Other side.
The Buzzard's biplane is taking shape.
Block.
What are you calling a block?
They've made two of their four wing structures, and they're now nailing their fuselage.
Allez, c'est parti.
C'est parti.
Allez. Allez, hop. On y va doucement.
The Falcon's fuselage is more complicated, but Monsieur Bellario would be proud.
The Eagle's monoplane is still just a jumble of steel tubing. Will they ever get their stuff together?
Okay, that is the front. That's the rear.
No fuselage, but they do have part of their undercarriage.
This is too cool.
The American Eagles are running a little bit behind schedule, if you ask me. They're using period tools, old-fashioned drills and saws, to try to cut steel tubing. That's a lot of hacking and sawing, and they've only got so many hours to finish this job, so the American Eagles better get cracking.
And what about the British Buzzards?
They, as a team, are working very well together, but I'm afraid I think the airplane's a bit heavier than I thought it really needs to be. So a little bit lighter weight, I think, would probably do them well.
The French Falcons seem to be making a lot of stuff. They're going ahead very well.
If they varnished it up, it would be a work of art and a piece of furniture. The airplane looks to me like it's a lot lighter than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. So right now, I have to go Vive la France.
Vive la France. Non, bad up.
If you could help us visualize, this is obviously the front.
Well, the pilot will be in between these two frames. You can see the bottom of these two frames here. And the wings will come from the top of the fuselage.
Okay.
Here, this way.
The main part of the Falcon's Bellario is their wooden box-like fuselage. They'll build two wings out of wooden frames, cover them with fabric, and bolt them onto either side. Then they'll attach wire bracing to a steel central tower, which will also support their undercarriage. The engine and propeller will be at the front of the aircraft to pull them along. But they've got to get cracking if they're going to get finished.
We are tired with my friends. We are very tired. It's very, very hard and very, very hot. We have so many things to do that it can become a mountain.
I'm trying to get up to speed with what you're all doing now. There's definitely wings there.
A couple of wings.
And are they top or bottom wings?
These are tops.
Have you got your right?
Ian's doing bottoms.
And this is half the fuselage.
This is half
that looks
No. That's all the fuselage.
Oh, I see. It looks kind of heavy and solid.
The widest bit of the fuselage is Bill.
The British Buzzard's fuselage is just a thin wooden frame with an engine and propeller at one end and a large tail at the other. Most of their strength is in the four wings, made from wood and covered with fabric. These wings should form a sturdy box-shaped structure that should keep the whole thing rigid. After all, it's only glued together.
What else do you reckon you'll do today before the end of today?
Well, we really want to get all our structures together and the glue hardening overnight our aim. And it looks to me like it's going to happen.
Bring me up to speed. Where are we right now?
We need to get our center part assembled. This is our center keel. And then the wheels go here, which are those double pipe things there.
Okay.
And the front wheel goes in there. Once we get our center section spars drilled, we put the center section on, and then it's like a big Tinker toy set. The problem is, the airplane doesn't have a true fuselage, and so you come in here expecting to see a fuselage, you're not going to see it.
Right.
The Eagles plan to join up their steel tubes to form a center section, which will also be their undercarriage. They'll have a network of cables radiating from this central tower, which should keep their wooden fabric-covered wings rigid. In front of the pilot will be an elevator, and behind him will be the engine and propeller. It's a complicated plan, and it still remains a figment of Captain Ken's imagination.
Now, what's it like being, pushed around by the big man?
Ken's getting a little testy, but, it's just the way he always is. He's always kind of been out there.
He's kind of the artsy one, right?
I'm like the motorhead, and he's like, always figuring stuff out, and I wouldn't have the foggiest idea where to start on one of these things.
Teams, you have 12 hours remaining. 12 heures seulement. 12 hours. Thank you.
Young Falcon Dimitri is still wrestling with his undercarriage.
Ça, c'est nickel. Ça, c'est top.
At last, Gérard is satisfied.
Ah oui, ça, super.
The Americans are preparing their rudder and tail section.
We're going to hold it, we're going to square it, we're going to... and you're going to weld it, okay?
All right.
Captain Ken may still have problems communicating, but it's an impressive bit of teamwork.
All right, that should be enough to hold it once it cools.
And bye.
That's perfect. Good.
Buzzard Ian is laying out their third and fourth wings. Captain Bill is checking measurements to the smallest fraction of an inch.
This one wants to be 300.
They can't afford any more miscalculations.
Well, good job we spotted that.
Once they stick it all together, there'll be no turning back.
Are you nearly going to be ready for gluing?
With my limited knowledge of aviation, I would imagine one of the basic prerequisites is wings. And I've only really seen sort of wings with the British buzzards. I've not seen any sign of anything resembling a wing anywhere else.
Frankly, I'm nervous that without seeing more wings out there, because there's quite a lot to do yet.
Okay.
Although they're missing wings, the Falcons do have a beautiful fuselage.
Yeah.
C'est bon?
Yahoo!
But Dimitri is still having problems with his undercarriage.
Hey, Andrew, I got a job for you.
Are you ready now?
He's seeking international aid. Andrew's only too happy to oblige.
Hey, what's going on there?
For a price.
He owes me a croissant.
I'll bring you a bottle of wine.
Okay.
Can I try it?
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Thank you. My father said to me this is a real job.
All right, go back. Get to work.
Thank you very much. Thank you, the American team.
Time is running out. You have got 11 hours remaining.
Ah bon?
No worries.
That means only 1 hour left today, and the British better get gluing so it can set overnight.
Let's stick the whole lot together.
Okay, fuselage, fuselage. Go, go, go.
Buzzards, buzzards, glue, glue, glue.
A tool that works.
All right. Look at, check this guy out.
The other teams appear to have gotten more done than you today. How do you feel about that?
It's an illusion. It's all an illusion. This is the illusion of progress.
So are you still as confident now as you were this morning?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Attends, dans quel sens c'était là déjà?
Dans ce sens-là.
There's only one sort of obvious thing to me that's missing at the moment. And that's the kind of wing bit.
The wings.
Yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Am I right?
We have just started one.
All right, you
one
are beginning. You are thinking about them.
Yeah, we are a bit late. Yeah.
All right, I'll be back.
What is the frenetic pace?
Fast-setting adhesive, and we want to get this whole structure glued up tonight so that when we get tucked up in our little beds, it'll be curing off, and it'll be as strong as anything in the morning.
Rock solid in the morning.
Are you guys happy with, like, the progress you've made today, or...?
We're a bit too close to it to really see it in perspective, I think.
Yeah.
Get in there, you swine.
Who would you put your money on?
Right now, I hate to say it, but I got to put on the French.
The British are doing very well, though, aren't they?
The British are doing very well, but I'm going to put my money on the Americans because I just think they'll pull it out the bag.
10 hours would be the end of a normal Junkyard Wars build, but we're only halfway there. Remember, the teams have 2 days.
Relax, Bill, relax.
Teams! 30 seconds!
That's all out!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, okay, teams, your time is up! Happy New Year!
Please put your tools down and come back to Earth.
You've got a lot of work to do tomorrow.
Very good work, team.
Right.
Very good.
Et on en peut plus.
I think we should get some sleep.
Not to you. It's not clear. To us, it's perfectly clear.
The teams have 10 hours left. Will they get finished? Find out after the break.
Welcome to the second day of the build, and everything's going marvelously. Teams are busy, and we're just going for a ride.
Start driving, Miss Daisy.
Come on.
The British, French, and Americans are battling to turn piles of junk into period planes.
Par contre, on commence là aujourd'hui.
And they only have 10 hours left.
Key element today, let's get this center section finished up.
All right.
All right.
Let's hit it.
Right. That'll be glued up now, so we'll have another big stick-up.
Yep.
Yeah?
Stick-up, light stick-up.
More glue.
More glue.
On va se partager un peu les tâches.
Bon, et puis vous bossez sur les ailes, vous, et moi je bosse sur la profondeur.
Ça marche.
Allez.
Nettoyage, c'est parti.
The American Eagles are struggling with the copious components that make up their monoplane. Andrew is working on the elevator, while the rest of the team focus on the undercarriage. Eagle-eyed Captain Ken's on the lookout for any mistakes.
You guys kind of screwed this cabane up here in this compression.
But he's got to take responsibility for this one.
You helped me put that on yesterday. Remember how crooked it was going on? He's pointing fingers at me.
The French Falcons have almost finished their fuselage. They can now start on their wings. As always, Gerald is chief of quality control.
Am I too strong?
The British Buzzard's biplane also has a fuselage.
The three airplanes all started with the hardest part of construction, which is the fuselage. Mm. Generally, in designing an airplane, the wing is the easiest thing to do.
Right.
And the fuselage is the part where everything must connect to.
Yes.
And they're all past that stage.
Yeah. And what about the French Falcons?
They're not quite as fast today as they were yesterday, but they've gotten a wing going, so they've got visible means of support for their fuselage. The British Buzzards, they're plodding right along. But then you have to remember, they've got four wings to build instead of two. I somewhat suspect that the American Eagles will really start catching up once they get building the wing proper. But as of now, the American Eagles are still a bit behind the eight ball. My logical side of me says that the French team, so far, still has the edge.
But the Falcons seem to be going over the edge, and it's getting sticky.
La fatigue commence à se faire sentir.
They've glued their wings the wrong way and have to pull them apart.
Ça le ferait pas avec deux ailes droites, hein? Ah, ce coup-ci, faut plus se planter. C'est où alors?
So where are we? Kind of bring me up to speed where we are.
The main structures for the wings are done. The tailplane is done. The elevator's done. The rudder's laid out, ready for gluing. The fuselage is virtually complete. Yes, we've got the big components. We've still got all the fabricing to do. We've still got all the control systems to make. You know, there's a lot of work in all that.
It's the movable surfaces on an airplane's wings and tail which give the pilot control of the plane. Two ailerons mounted on the rear outside edge move in opposite directions, decreasing lift on one wing while increasing it on the other. This causes the airplane to roll. The elevator is on the horizontal tail surface and tilts up or down, changing the amount of lift on the tail, bringing the nose up or down. The rudder on the vertical tail fin swivels from side to side, pushing the tail left or right. The pilot usually uses the rudder along with the ailerons to turn the airplane.
It seems like things are moving along really nicely, but I imagine there's got to be some things here.
When you're building an aircraft, the main structure can come together very, very quickly. But it's the fine detail that takes the time.
So you have to cut some corners, so to speak.
Well, you can only cut so many corners because somebody's going to fly this.
Our tail unit is finished. Right here, this is our rudder.
And this will be covered with fabric?
This will be covered, and this will be covered. Andrew's covering the forward elevator.
You have an elevator right in front of the pilot.
Rather than having an elevator on the tail of their plane, the American Eagles will mount it in front. Their other control surfaces will be more conventional. There'll be a rudder on the tail just behind the propeller. And as normal, they'll have ailerons on their wing. When they get around to making it.
Because it does look like you've got a lot of components now.
It's the nature of this airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. Airplanes are lots of pieces.
Right.
And you're not going anywhere without any one of them.
Yes.
So you got to have them all before you get started.
What are you working on right now?
The wing. We have done already one, which is there. And we are preparing the second one.
Okay. Well, what kind of control are you going to be able to have over the plane?
On the wings, nothing. We will have only two-axis control.
But now, usually aren't planes controlled sort of on a sideways, up and down?
And also roll.
Okay.
We will not have roll control.
In their quest for simplicity, the French Falcons are going to dispense with ailerons. This means they'll have no control over roll, but they'll still have an elevator on the tail to take the nose up or down and a rudder to steer them left or right. They'll just have to make sure they don't have to make any sharp turns.
We are a bit late, I would say.
Yeah.
But
are
that's
you?
The thing. Yeah.
Yes, a little bit. Teams, you only have 6 hours remaining. Il vous reste 6 heures, c'est tout.
You need to hammer it in this bit here, please.
The buzzards are nailing down their wings, but not everyone is finding it easy.
Ah, I hate these nails.
How many nails have you put in so far, Wendy?
Two.
Wendy also adds a couple of finishing touches to the fuselage.
That should do. This one's pretty solid.
Okay, right way up.
And they move it into position, ready for the wings.
Well, the Americans, they've gone very focused. I think that's the word. It's an American term, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
We're really focused.
I am right now on what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, is that how you do it? I don't know how to do focus. I'm like this. Ken, to explain, we've got 150 separate parts for the airplane, which is great. The trouble is none of them are joined together. There's just steaming great piles of parts, hundreds and hundreds of them.
The French were saying that they were very ambitious with their design and with their build. Now they're realizing there are still so much more to do. I mean, they are constructing their wings. They have to do all of the cabling. I mean, there's a lot to do. Now, how do the British handle stress? Because so far they seem pretty well-mannered. And, you know,
yeah. They're great. They're just so polite to each other. It's sickening. Yeah. It's sickening. I say, let's take another carriage ride, shall we?
The Americans are taking off at last.
As soon as Paul gets that last brace in, we're gonna bolt this thing together.
Go down.
Norm, you need to come down with it. Yeah.
This is the main structure of their fuselage. It'll be both the undercarriage and the tower to which they'll attach their wings. This may not look like much of a plane, but remember, the Wright brothers started with bicycles.
And it was their bicycle shop that supported them during their early years of aeronautical experiments. Wilbur was 4 years senior to Orville and a technical genius, obsessed by the idea of powered flight. It was fitting, therefore, that at Kitty Hawk in December 1903, he was given the first chance to fly. Unfortunately, he lost control of the plane and crashed on takeoff. They spent 3 days doing repairs, and then it was Orville's turn. He flew for 12 seconds and covered 120 feet. Orville Wright entered the history books.
Wilbur?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the problem.
I'll tell you what the problem is, Orville. Everybody thinks you flew that plane first, and that just ain't true.
Oh, are we going to go through that again?
Well, I mean, I took that plane up in the air first. Sure, I crashed it, but I took it up first.
Read your history books. I was the first one to fly, successfully.
Well, I tell you something else. Everybody always remembers Wilbur and Orville. They don't just remember Orville, Orville, Orville.
It's always going to be Orville. Just get over it. Fix a bike.
The French Falcons also seem to be inspired by bicycles.
On se trompe pas de sens. Ça, c'est celle du bas.
But airplanes are a little more complicated.
Doucement, doucement, comme ça.
We try to install the undercarriage. It takes more time than when we planned.
Was this too ambitious then?
You know, a lot of small things to do, you know. Mm-hmm. Just small pieces to right. glue on the airplane. And as we are a bit tired, it takes more time than planned. We try to avoid to make some errors, you know. If we make a mistake, we will lose more time than planned.
So you can't rush. You got to really
That's the best way to proceed.
Yeah.
Put a level on this.
The Eagles are getting ready to fit their tail. It's important that they line it up correctly.
Right there is pretty close. It's starting to look more like an airplane. We got the landing gear attached to the center section right here.
Right.
We have our front keel, which runs underneath the table, and right now we're going to do the tail booms. We're going to make two sides, and when that's done, we can actually attach the whole tail surface and the rudder, which is already finished. And then we're going to go to the front and attach the front control surface, and that'll be finished.
Now, the tail surface that you say is complete, where is it?
It's somewhere out there in junkyard land, yeah. We had to move it because we were running out of space. We got a big airplane because, you know what? The Americans build big.
So, Norm, what's been bugging you the most, though? Just the simple fact that things are taking longer, or what?
Well, you know, I like to see things just, you know, going and moving and stuff like that. And Ken's too much of a thinker. You know, he's always, are we going to get this thing together today? And so, they're trying to keep me on track.
Okay.
So, but I'm ready. I mean, I want to start bolting some stuff. I want to get this engine on. I'm ready to go.
Where did you say it balanced?
The
British Captain Bill is checking the center of gravity of his plane. He thinks it's back heavy.
Control bit. Go ahead. Up. Okay, down.
Can you just hold that there?
Changing the engine's position could make a difference.
What's the verdict?
I reckon we can just do it.
It's important that their plane is balanced around the point where the pilot sits, rather like a giant teeter-totter. Their tail is heavier than anticipated, and the only way to counter its weight is to extend the fuselage and move the engine further forward. If they don't get it right, they could be heading for the stars.
Will the engine be mounted up here?
The engine resides upon this pole.
Right.
I'm actually going to extend this even further.
Right.
And the whole aeroplane, we need to get balancing about there.
Right.
Which is, happily,
just about where your bottom is.
On the solar plexus. There's a seat pan to go on
right.
here.
But then you're going to have a wing, presumably, below you. The wings fit.
Wings just here.
One there and one
wings
above
you. Just there.
So you've got some shade.
Got some shade, yeah. It's good in this sun.
Yeah.
And that's reclining.
Right, very nice position.
Backrest. There's a ruddy great big lump of timber straight in front of me nose. But, I mean, that's no problem for vision. You just, you know, you're one eye and then the other sort of thing.
Yeah.
The American's pile of poles is finally starting to look like a plane as they put rudder and tail on the fuselage.
Hey, did anybody get a boost out of putting the tail on?
You mean like maybe Norm?
Yeah, I'm getting excited.
And up.
The buzzards are also fitting the rudder to their plane. Captain Bill puts it through its preliminary paces.
Loads of movement. It's looking good, isn't it? Yep, passed. Cover it.
Extra, extra, read all about it. You have 4 hours remaining. 4 hours.
That's not good.
Bon, faut aller vite, hein. C'est de la 5, hein.
The Falcons are using fast-setting glue on their undercarriage. It's their only chance of finishing on time.
Avance. Tirez pas du tout en haut. Ça va pas. Le fusage est trop...
Vite.
Un serre-joint, prends un petit serre-joint.
Non. Tiens-moi le train là, la jambe là. Là. Vite là.
Voilà, stop.
Non.
En train de coller. Au moment où on voulait des gens, il n'y a personne.
It looks like they're about to come unstuck.
The Eagles are still missing a vital component.
Can you guys spare me for a little bit? I'm kind of looking for a propeller.
If Paul can't find something soon, they may have to make one.
Oh, man. No prop. No propeller.
I have produced some scrap here.
The British are also feeling the pressure.
There's still shed loads to do.
This has started to take me a long time to do something relatively simple.
Need to pick up the pace of it, really.
The American Eagles are still missing a propeller. And they've only just started to build their wings.
The British buzzards have started covering their first wing, but they've still got 3 more to do.
Bill and Darren, can we borrow you for 2 minutes? Right, I just want you to hold it really tight. Pull really tight, yeah? Okay, if you stick your corner down.
They're using a modern fabric since they don't make cotton like they used to.
This is looking wonderful, Ian.
I'm glad to hear it.
It's exactly the same method as was used 100 years ago. This is a German bomber production line during World War I, where everything was handcrafted. The men worked on the wood, the women did the sewing. No such distinction in our teams.
Allez, go.
Ouais, là, il faut...
The French Falcons are also covering their wings. In the old days, they stretched the fabric before they glued it. But modern fabrics just need ironing to make them taut.
This is très belle.
Beautiful.
Yes,
you must do this all the time.
Yes, but if my wife see that, I'm finished.
Oh, really? You will be doing it all the time then?
Yes.
You do it very well. Your shirts would be beautiful. They're so smooth.
The Americans are a long way from covering their wings, and Paul still hasn't found a propeller. But he's brought in cable as consolation.
But that's perfect, perfect stuff.
You've got a lot of cable to rig.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that support the wing. You know, there's cables that come down that way, and there's cables that come up from the landing gear.
How are things with Captain Ken explaining information?
Ken's a jerk.
You know, yeah.
Frankly, none of us like him.
Yeah.
I heard that.
I didn't want to be the one to say it. But is Ken able to kind of get his vision out to you guys so you can all do your own individual thing?
If we can pull this off, Ken is the biggest genius in this junkyard.
Tailplane just sits on top of the fuselage, and it's bolted in onto the front there. The rudder here,
right,
is then fixed onto the post at the back. Just the wings to go on then.
Yeah, just that. I mean, it's only a plane.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys were ambitious enough to build a plane with four wings instead of two like everybody else.
Okay. Oops. Gloves stuck.
Very nice.
Teams, you have 3 hours remaining. 3 heures seulement.
Time for a break. Relax a little bit.
On va y arriver.
The flighty Falcons are cabling, and after his success with the undercarriage, Dimitri's on a roll.
So you guys look really good in these
clothes. Thank you. Very much.
You guys have been having fun with the dress-up because I saw you earlier in something else.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, I've been in this one.
Yeah, we've had this on, I believe us, all day.
No, yeah. Listen, it wasn't that long ago. It was a couple hours ago. You were over there. You had the thing with the bike and the gun. I mean, you looked like you were having fun.
With the judge or with the team. Nope. They haven't done anything else. Nope.
Now. What do you think? The junkyard's haunted or something?
I don't know.
The American Eagles are still missing a propeller, and they've only just started to build their wings.
The British Buzzards have started covering their first wing, but they've still got three more to do.
How's the French team doing?
When I was in there, I was saying, well, this reminds me of something. It's actually a Paris bar, very late at night, when they've all drunk far too much Pernod. Because Pernod kind of cheers you up to that one. You go, and after a while you get... They're just kind of deadened by the job they've got.
The Americans are doing very, very well. Yeah. Although there are some communication problems in the American camp. Ken doesn't communicate very well.
Right.
It's all up here.
Yeah.
It just doesn't come out here, you know.
The British are very chatty still, but they had the ambition of four wings rather than two. You know, Bill's great big toy is coming together, but they are quite behind.
Just mark these plates up wrong. These plates are kind of fundamental because they hold the wings on.
There's chaos and confusion in the British workshop as they start to cover the underside of their first wing. Captain Bill is talking the talk.
Come on, brain, work.
There must be a method in their madness. They soon finish that first wing.
Well, would you look at that? A wing with wires hanging out of it. It's getting there.
The Eagles have now started covering. They're catching up fast, but there's still something missing.
You know, before it gets any darker, we're losing the light, maybe you ought to go out one last time and see if you can find that prop.
All right, yeah.
This time, failure's not an option.
Moi, c'est un vrai Picasso, hein?
Falcons Eric and Dimitri are varnishing their first wing. When it dries, it will add strength to the fabric. Gerard and Giraud are using bicycle inner tubes for their undercarriage suspension. This should give pilot Eric a smooth ride.
Eagle Paul is nearly at the end of his tether. He's been hunting a propeller for almost 2 days.
Hey.
Now there's a happy man.
Here we go. Got it. Ooh, it's a beauty, too. Hey, guys.
What?
Found it.
Whoa, look at Paul.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, you're a hero.
You have proved your worth.
All right. We have our prop.
Hey, look at that.
We almost have our motor mount.
Teams, you have 1 hour remaining. Une heure seulement.
Piece of cake.
Keep panicking.
Can we afford to drop this?
Not really.
The Buzzards carefully lift their engine to the nose of their biplane.
The Falcons are hot on their tail, but their engine won't fit.
Là, on n'est pas du tout là. Qu'est-ce qui se passe? Où est l'erreur?
Et c'est un de ceux-là qui est pas bon.
Time for some last-minute bodging.
The Eagles are also getting power.
We got an engine, huh?
You ready for wings?
I should see the beautiful view from underneath.
Paul, go tip to the front. Oh, there it goes. There, perfect.
You know, this is going to be really fun to fly.
Fly it? Who said anything about flying it?
You're going to lift, and I'll guide.
The buzzards are getting their wings.
Right. Hang on, this one's in. Whoa.
Wow, looking good.
Stop. Just hang on, just think.
It was all going so smoothly, but the ailerons are too long. Captain Bill has a solution.
Well, don't worry, we'll just hack it off.
Hey, we could put winglets on it.
Ouais.
Alors,
vous me dites, hein?
Wow, c'est génial.
What a racket.
Ok, c'est génial. Bon.
The Falcon's wings slot into place perfectly.
Ça, c'est la petite. Ça, c'est la moyenne et ça, c'est la grande.
Looks good. Looks very good.
Thanks.
So could you paint me a kind of impressionist image of the test day? We're in the desert. There's the three teams lined up, ready to go.
The American Eagles airplane will probably lift off the soonest. I think it'll break ground and be flying before anybody's ready.
Hopefully the pilot will be ready. But
he's better be on the ball. And then I think that the French Falcon team will be the second quickest to get off the ground, mainly because it does have that high lift, curved airfoil, and it is fairly light. The British Buzzards plane, being that it's a little bit heavier, will probably take off the slowest, but it could also be the fastest aircraft once it gets up and going.
So, Chuck, I've got to ask the awful question. I know you don't like it, but who's your money on that?
I think the American airplane looks the most like an authentic airplane. Logic out the window, emotion in the door. I'm going with the American team at the moment.
Sorry, slightly port. Well, that's it.
Okay, slack.
15 minutes, chaps, that's all you've got.
Hurry up.
Well grips, yeah.
C'est la bonne. Slowly.
Steady.
Super.
Three, two, one.
Time
is up.
It's
over. British Buzzards, jolly good show. Now it's time for a kip.
Americans, the Eagle has landed.
Yeah. Woo. French Falcons, s'il vous plaît, posez vos outils.
Ça y est.
C'est la vie, c'est la finie. Yeah. Well done, chaps.
But Andrew, what about actually flying it now? Small amount of nerves, I would imagine.
If something's going to happen, it's going to be something you can't plan for. You know, you can think about it all beforehand, and you'll think about it the night before, and you'll think about all that kind of stuff. But when it gets right down to it, it's just going to be, you know, open her up and let's go.
Is there anything left in your head now, Ken, that you haven't?
Is there anything left in your head now, Ken?
So I want to make sure it's completely empty before you take off. As Andrew flies off, I don't want you to go, there's one thing left.
This is the look of shock and amazement. Wow, it's done. Is it done?
Well, it's pretty much there.
What about steering?
Steering?
Ready to go?
Okay. In the roll axis, we've got ailerons.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got elevators at the back. It should be a very controllable airplane.
This is an airplane. I can't believe it. You've got an airplane.
Well,
here.
Get your ruddy pilot's license and you fly it.
Okay, this looks beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
Really?
Of course.
You like it?
Yes, and I expected nothing less. Honestly, you guys said you were going to build the sexiest plane, and I think you may have. Very pretty, very pretty. How do you feel about flying?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
You look a little delirious.
Yes, sir.
How long is she going to stay in the air?
Yeah, well, depending on how much fuel we get on.
Oh, really?
We can cross the Atlantic and not the channel now. Go back to home.
Ready for Atlantic Ocean.
Good.
The British Buzzard's biplane has double the wings of the other teams. But will Captain Bill's mishmash design with its long nose and heavy tail ever get off the ground?
The American Eagles have a beautiful replica of a Walden 9 aircraft. But will this metal bird with large wings fly or just flap?
The French Falcon's finely carved Bolero may be a thing of beauty, but will it get their Gallic pride soaring?
Robert, I thought you said we were flying the planes at a lake.
It's a dry lake, Tyler. A dry lake.
We've brought our teams to the heart of the Mojave Desert in California. This dry lake bed should provide them with the ideal takeoff conditions, but their fantasies of flight may still prove elusive.
There's a lot to do before the planes are ready to fly, but they've only got 2 hours tinkering time before the wind gets up.
I think, well, we can. We've got to get the engine
finished.
Their planes must also be inspected by the Federal Aviation Authority. If they're not deemed airworthy, they won't be allowed in the competition.
Props locked.
Safety is paramount. The teams must check that their engines start and run smoothly.
Switches on.
Switches on.
Contact.
Contact.
Once in the air, any malfunction could prove fatal.
The British may be feeling the wind in their hair, but things aren't quite so breezy for the Americans. Even engine expert Norm seems to be struggling.
You call it. You call it, Norm.
Too much fuel?
I don't know. It makes me nervous.
The French Falcons don't seem to have any problem.
The Americans swallow their pride and call in British engine wizard Wendy.
Yeah, sure.
She's their final hope. They've only got a few minutes of tinkering left.
Very strange.
So we'll just have a go. Can we have some more electrical connections, please? Okay, try that.
Wendy has saved the day. The American Eagles are back in the race.
Go!
Yay! That does it. Tinkering time is done.
Gérard, are you happy? Okay? Everything okay?
Bien sûr. On va y aller doucement. On va découvrir petit à petit le comportement de la machine. On va y aller tranquillement pour pas prendre de risques.
Gérard is our master, our boss, so we take all the steps and verify everything.
When you first leave the ground, what are you expecting? How are you expecting this plane to react?
After about maybe 10 seconds, I will have a good idea of whether I think it's a flying machine or a brick. And, you know, I'll be able to act accordingly, really.
Is this a tricky plane to fly?
It could be tricky. There's a very wide range of possibilities with it. One good thing about it is having built the airplane, you become in tune with it. And that's what helped a lot of people, the Wright brothers, their airplanes. Some of their airplanes were very unstable and hard to fly, but they knew everything that they did on it, why they did it, and what they expected it to do, and building it helps you to fly it.
Bill, David Swan.
Oh, hello, David.
It's now up to the pilots to convince David Swan, acting for the Federal Aviation Authority, that their planes are fit to fly.
Could we walk around the aircraft?
Yes, yes.
His decision is final.
I understand you had a fuel venting problem earlier, and that's been corrected.
Yeah, it was siphoning out of the tank.
If any of the planes fail to meet his strict safety criteria, they won't be allowed to take off.
Noted your brace wires?
Yeah, in two directions, vertical and roughly horizontal.
It's all wood and fabric?
Yes, it's all wood and fabric.
Yeah, we had considered putting additional elevator surface back here, but when we got the front elevator done, the surface is certainly adequate for any pitch control we'll need.
Dual tail skids?
Right, just to prevent the bottom of the rudder from hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, you have an interesting design. I want to thank you for taking the time to explain the features to me and let me look at the aircraft. On behalf of the FAA, I'd like to present you with a certificate so you can fly the aircraft.
Thank you very much.
It's the first time in history that FAA flight certificates have been issued to planes made in 20 hours out of junk.
Our international teams have permission to go head-to-head in the flight of the century.
Wilbur?
What is it, Orville?
Are they going to fly those planes here?
That's what they say.
Sure don't look like Kitty Hawk to me.
Where's the sea? They've got to be plumb crazy to fly here.
Plumb crazy.
To help us understand the fantastic achievements of the early flyers, we've invited along eminent aviation historian Josh Stoff.
What's the ultimate goal if I'm Orville and Wilbur Wright? Obviously, it's to fly, but was it distance, was it length, or was it just simply to get in the air?
Well, certainly at first, it was just to get in the air. People didn't think that powered flight was possible. They said man will never fly. If man were meant to fly, he'd have wings. And there were so many crackpots and tinkerers trying to fly, and they failed for many years. So that when the airplanes first actually started flying, people couldn't believe what they were seeing. And it was like they were witnessing a miracle. People just were awestruck. It would almost be like today if someone could invent a machine that would make themselves invisible. Those early aviators, 1909, 1910 period, they achieved a popularity larger than any of today's sports stars or rock idols. I mean, aviators, their names were household words. You could just cannot picture a world without airplanes now. And we really have these early pioneers to thank.
Now it's the judge's turn to give his verdict on the finished aircraft.
We'll take a look at it. Whoa. It's unbelievable. This looks just like a 1910 airplane. You know, I just can't wait to see it fly. The American Eagles have a very powerful engine, so I would think that this thing is going to accelerate really well.
Right.
And as soon as it starts to accelerate and get a little speed, those two ailerons at the tips are going to fly up. I'm thinking this thing will be off the ground pretty fast.
Let's go and have a look at the French Falcons. Monsieur Blériot plane.
Oui, oui, monsieur. Oui, oui. Oui, oui. It's like a piece of furniture.
Yeah. But it looks so light, this one. I mean, it's a light construction, isn't it?
But wood, in this truss-type construction like this, is actually very rigid. Yeah. It's very stiff construction. I was a little concerned that it didn't have enough movement in the rudder and the elevator, but it looks like the French Falcons took that all into consideration. And all in all, this looks like an extremely well-proportioned, well-balanced airplane.
Do you want to go and have a look at the British plane?
Let's have a go.
You still think this is going to be the slowest to take off?
Certainly looks to be the heaviest. It's a little more contemporary looking to me, though, than the other two aircraft, more of a 1920s style airplane. With a different set of wings, it would look very antique-y. I just can't wait to see these things go. We've got three lovely airplanes here that deserve to fly.
Yeah. So, Chuck, now you've seen them all. They're all ready to go. Who's your money on now?
In all honesty, I think I'm going to have to go with the French.
The inspections are over. The planes are ready. Tomorrow, we'll see the greatest aviation challenge ever.
Sunrise. The Mojave Desert. Our intrepid teams are preparing for one of the most daring aviation challenges ever witnessed.
The teams will have to fly a half mile from the start line on one side of the lake to the finish line on the other.
It may sound easy, but remember, these planes are made from junk and modeled on designs from 100 years ago.
Flying such contraptions is so dangerous that we're insisting on one test flight each before the competition even starts. The pilots' lives could be on the line.
There hasn't been one of these flown since 1911, so nobody's around that ever saw one fly, so or ever flew one, and there's nothing written about what it flew like when it was in 1911.
American Eagles, you are clear to take off!
Okay, let's do it. Here we go.
Everyone is on pins and needles. Anything could happen.
What's the mood over there?
We just want to get one good safe flight, nice and straight. Our airplane is a little more unconventional. He's rolling. He's rolling.
If Andrew can get the nose off the ground, the rest of the plane should follow.
Come on, baby, get up there. Get up there.
He's desperately hoping for some lift, but there seems to be a technical problem.
He's going very fast. He's got one wheel off the side, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's completely off balance.
He's starting to do what's known as a wheelbarrow.
Keep control, Andrew!
There may be a problem with the center of gravity being too far forward.
What was the problem?
Now we got to go talk to Andrew and see. All right, what's happened?
I think we need a few adjustments.
That was a little bit disappointing, I have to say, because I was really looking forward to seeing that go in the air.
So our center of gravity is a little far forward, and so that's not helping us. You know, we're a little disappointed, but it's stuff we can work on and try to make it better, and we'll see what happens.
Welcome back to our Flight of Fantasy, where three teams are preparing for a race to the skies.
Okay, French Falcons, please get ready to take off.
Very confident?
Yes, more or less confident.
I'm sensing a little bit of trepidation there.
Yeah, we are a bit tense anyway.
Yeah.
Pilot Eric is concentrating on the only thing that matters, his own safety. The fastidious French Falcons are taking it slow and steady.
Now, that's got to be scary sitting inside that thing.
It's the first
time it's moved under its own power, isn't it?
Yeah.
At 330 pounds, the Blériot is by far the lightest of the three planes. But will it fly?
I think everybody's heart rate has just gone up about three or four notches here.
It turns without any difficulty, so all seems to be okay.
They're having problems with their balance, too.
Oh, he's a bit sideways, but he's...
He's yawing at this there.
Yeah, isn't he? Okay, correction. Okay. Allez! Lève-le!
Up!
He's in the air! Fantastic! And he's safely down!
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Remember, this is only the test flight.
He's taking a very technical approach to the first flight.
So time to go in and find out what he thinks.
I think Eric looks happy.
The test has gone quite well so far, yeah.
So what were you doing there?
Just a little hop to check that the wings were correctly balanced.
Très bien. Nothing to add, you know?
I love it. Oh, fantastic.
British Buzzards, prepare for your first flight.
Bill, all systems go. Any last-minute concerns or anything?
You get to this stage. We've done all the pre-flight checks. We've prepared everything. I just want to get on with it. It feels like being on a high diving board waiting to go. And all your senses are really sharp and, you know, you're just focused. And switches on. Contact. Chocks away. Okay, let's go.
He started taxiing. Oh, and he's in the air!
Yes!
Wow! What is he doing? This is meant to be a test flight.
More speed. He's got it.
It's an amazing sight.
No, wow, look at that. That is amazing. It's just up. It's just flying.
Captain Bill is really pushing his luck.
As you guys see it kind of cruise by, I mean, do you kind of go, oh, we made that? You know, a little bit of pangs of pride. I'm going to cry. This is amazing.
He's flying nearly 500 pounds of junk at over 200 feet.
I mean, this is one heck of a test flight.
I had a suspicion once he got in the air, that guy's not going to come down for a while.
I knew they would fly, but this is beyond what I expected for the first flight.
Here we go.
Come on, Bill. Put it on the ground.
Get it
gently.
Landing is going to be tricky. Bill has only one wheel. If he topples over, the plane could smash to pieces.
Bravo!
Oh, what a beautiful landing.
One wheel. Beautiful.
What a beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
Bill.
Ah! Bravo, maestro! Well done!
It flies! It flies like a dream!
Remember, these were only the test flights. The American Eagles got up to speed, but not off the ground. There's a problem with the balance of their plane. The British Buzzards threw caution to the wind and soared to dizzying heights in their brilliant biplane. The French Falcons made one small hop in a technically perfect test run.
But disaster has struck.
You're looking at this propeller.
Yeah. Well, it's dead. Look at this split here. There's a split this point, maybe on both sides. You know, it goes through all along here.
So you can't have anything like that, or it's not going to
If you lose a part of that, you go to a crash.
Yeah.
Unless the Falcons can patch their prop, they won't be allowed to fly. The Americans are determined to beat the competition. But unless they can get their aircraft balanced, it'll be push-off rather than take-off. They're adding lead weight to their tail.
If the French Falcons want to fly again, they must administer first aid to their split propeller.
They have to get busy and get cracking so the glue has time to dry.
But glue alone won't hold it together. The British have come to the rescue. Buzzard Ian is an experienced propeller doctor. It's a delicate operation.
In the interest of safety, the judge is insisting that all teams make a second test flight.
American Eagles, please come forward for your second flight.
Okay, American Eagles, how are things over here?
Lousy so far.
What have you changed since the last run?
We put a little more weight in the back, and we twisted that wing down just a little bit because it was trying to lift the right wing up. That's about it.
Will the lead weight do the trick?
Come on, Andrew. Get her up there.
Let's go, Andy.
Any second we should see the nose come off if there are adjustments that have been successful.
It's got flutter. It's got flutter of something.
Whoa, there's a serious problem with their wings.
Whoa. Why is that right wing coming up?
I was really kind of surprised that I didn't see the nose wheel come
off. Yes, I thought that's really what I expected to see.
Did it give you a little scare?
They have some more adjusting to do. They're going to get this thing off the ground.
Andrew.
Yes.
What happened out there?
I don't think the front nose wheel ever came off the ground.
Frustrated?
A little bit, yeah.
Now you've had two goes at it. What needs to be done to get this plane?
I don't know. We all scratch our heads and try to think of something.
French Falcons, please move forward for your second flight.
French Falcons, ça va?
Falcons pilot Eric knows his propeller will be spinning at 5,500 revolutions per minute. And it's only held together by string and glue.
He's going flat out.
Yeah, he's adding a bit more power now. I see the tail.
There it goes. Is that very good?
Eric's fate is tied to the blades of that propeller.
I think he's off.
He's off. Yes.
What a fantastic flight. And now for the landing, one of the most dangerous moments for both the pilot and the aircraft.
Very nice landing.
On his second test run, Eric stayed in the air for an amazing 25 seconds.
Got some bizarre cheer going on there, the French team.
Superb. Bravo, monsieur. Well done. So it looks really, really good. Very stable.
Yes, it is. It's just great.
British Buzzards, please move forward for your second flight.
Captain Bill wastes no time getting airborne.
He's getting used to the airplane. He's getting a feel of it and just seeing how she's going.
Bill's pushing his plane to the limit.
The one thing that I was a little concerned about was the weight of the airplane, but the biplane configuration has given them a good light wing loading so they can fly.
The four wings are definitely sending the Buzzard soaring, but this is still only a test flight. If anything goes wrong at this height, the results would be disastrous.
No. Bring it down!
He's coming into land, but with only one wheel, he's relying on the ailerons to keep the plane balanced. He's caught a crosswind.
Oh, bit of a bounce then.
Wow, that was close.
The British Buzzards really set the standard. The French Falcons are running a very close second. And the American Eagle team has got some ground to gain.
The test flights are over. Next, the real challenge. Captain Bill may be Lord of the Skies, but will his one-wheeled biplane hold together for one more flight? The French Falcons have a beautifully trimmed plane, but their propeller is only held together with string and glue. The American Eagles have yet to get their three wheels off the ground. But Captain Ken is hoping they've finally got their plane balanced.
It's not over till it's over.
The test flights are over. It's race time. The course will be a half-mile run from the red start line on one side of the lake to a red finish line on the other. The winner will be the pilot who lands and comes to a full stop closest to this red line. If no pilot gets near the red line, the winner will be the team with the longest time in the air.
These are tense and nervous times for the pilots. The American Eagles have made their wings more rigid and added weight to the back of their aircraft. Captain Ken's hoping this will get them airborne.
French Falcons pilot Eric has to contend with a split propeller. If the string and glue fail to hold it together, he could come crashing back down to Earth.
I'm getting vibration-affected instrument readings, so I'm just going to disregard the instruments and fly by the seat of my pants.
British Buzzard Bill's test flights were hugely successful, but with no instruments, he may not be in for happy landings.
Right, where's Michelangelo?
American Eagles, are you ready?
Pilot Andrew and the Walden monoplane are first up.
They've done some adjustments. What did they change?
The American Eagle airplane had one wing lifting stronger than the other wing, so they made some adjustments to the wire rigging to try to get some balance in the way the wings are lifting so that they both lift at the same rate.
It is your last chance. Are you going to be able to do this? Are you going to get it off the ground, stop on the red line, do what you came here to do?
Well, how about if I do like two of those three or four things?
Which
how
two?
How about if we settle for one, just get it off the ground. We'll get it back on the ground. Red line, we'll see what we can do, but...
Okay.
Let's go.
Ahead.
Even experienced pilot Andrew is feeling the pressure.
Looking good.
This plane last flew in 1911.
Come on, Andrew, get it up there, get it up.
Wow, there goes the front wheel. Wow.
Oh, you got it on.
Yes.
There it is. It's up. Yeah.
Go, Andrew.
Go.
Spurred on by his teammates, Andrew keeps going and going and going.
He's still flying.
He's still flying.
Go, Andrew.
It's an incredible flight.
To England and glory!
500 pounds of steel just floating across the desert.
I don't even have to ask you, how do you feel about that?
Amazing. It's a major relief.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, that's quite a long flight.
That's a long flight.
He's landing nowhere near the red line, but he flew for a record 1 minute, 4 seconds.
I'm getting pretty discouraged there, but things are looking a little better now.
Yeah.
A triumphant Andrew taxis back to the start line.
Stop. Can't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew.
Woo.
Well done, sir.
How did it fly? It sucks.
That's the 96th different type of airplane I've flown, and it's probably the worst flying one of the bunch.
What about the red line?
The elevator, as it moves up and down, it blocks a lot of your forward view. You know, you can see the mountains up above and stuff right in front of you, but you can't see much, you know, in your normal field of vision. So I was just like, well, I'm just going to keep going then as long as I can.
It was an incredibly successful first flight, making the Americans the ones to beat.
French Falcons, êtes-vous prêts?
There's everything to play for. Falcons pilot Eric must stop as close to the finish line as possible or beat the American time of 1 minute, 4 seconds.
It's a bit windy, but it looks good.
Will their string-bound propeller give them the power they need?
Oh, he's up.
Back down.
Oh, he landed right
there.
Yeah.
Little puff of dust.
He's heading straight for the red finishing line, but he's got no brakes, so stopping could be difficult. He's just over the line. Brilliant!
Hey!
Dimitri, how do you feel about this? All of your hard work has done very, very well.
Yeah, it flies good and pretty. So, what can we do?
What else?
Yeah. We're just missing a second seat for you.
It was a beautiful flight from the French. Although they touched down halfway through their 28-second journey, Eric stopped right on the finish line. That gives the French the lead, with the Americans in second place.
British Buzzards, are you ready?
You're going to fly a half mile and then try to stop fully as close to the red line as you can.
There are no brakes, so it's a little harder than we could have made it for ourselves. But let's face it, it isn't that sophisticated, is it?
Contact!
British pride is at stake. The French have already got their tail on the red line, and Bill's going to have to do better than that.
Welcome back, where it's still up and down in our race to the finish.
It was a beautiful flight from the French. Although they touched down halfway through their 28-second journey, Eric stopped right on the finish line. That gives the French the lead, with the Americans in second place.
British buzzards, are you ready?
Contact!
It just flies right up.
It climbs really well, doesn't it?
That's the highest he's been to date, I think.
The buzzard's one-wheeled wonder soars again to dizzying heights.
It's steady
it's
as a rock.
It's effortless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Appears he's coming back around here. He's going to head for the red ribbon.
He's quite hard because he's got no brakes, is he?
No,
he's going to judge it pretty good.
It's going to be very good judgment.
It's all down to Bill landing safely and coming to a dead stop at the red line.
Go in.
Come on.
Hey. Right onto the line.
That was done.
Very nice.
Amazing. You nailed the red line.
Indeed.
Bill, bravo.
I couldn't have done it without these splendid people.
So, the American Eagles never saw the finish line, but flew for an incredible 1:04. The French Falcons stopped on the finish line, but touched down halfway through their 28-second flight. And the British buzzards pinned the finish line with their nose wheel and flew for an astounding 2:40. So, over to the judge for the official verdict.
I have to declare the British buzzards are the winners.
All the hard work that you guys have all put in, I mean, see that it works.
This is what makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah!
It's a lovely little airplane.
It is. I mean, look at
it. Built it in 2 days.
Your smile, everything.
Yeah. It's fabulous.
Does it give you a nice sense of perspective of what maybe the Wright brothers and early airplane people went through?
Absolutely. That's why we do this. And like I say, this is what Paul and Ken and I do for a living. We want to experience what they experience. And now I have a greater appreciation when I read a history book now and they talk about flying these things. Yeah. I'll know a lot more about what they mean than I did before.
Moi, je dirais que on a un tout petit peu revécu l'époque, cette époque qui est pour nous l'histoire, l'époque des pionniers, on a un tout petit peu goûté à ça, et pour nous c'était un rêve.
Ladies and gentlemen, after the most fantastic day of aeronautic engineering bravery and skill, please first of all, the American Eagles for the most authentic historical plane. And now the team who made the most beautiful airplane anyone has ever made in 20 hours, the French Falcons! And now last, but by no means least, the high-flying British Buzzards!
Pilot extraordinaire, Bill! I have this for you, sir. Champagne!
And this, Bill, is to prove that the British buzzards are the winners!
Out the future of 21st century flight in a premiere on Sunday evening at 9. But coming up next tonight, Superstructures takes us inside the mountain that's